Ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, life after death. You'll hear great thinkers on these subjects and more on the Paranormal Podcast, the longest running podcast of its type. I'm Jim Harold, and I invite you to join me as we explore the mysteries of life. I bet you love these topics just as much as I do, but don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Join me for some great paranormal conversation. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. On this day in 1955, Montgomery police arrested civil rights activist Rosa Parks for refusing to give up her bus seat to a white passenger. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Spotify original from Parcast. Due to the descriptions of violence against Black people, listener discretion is advised. Extreme caution is advised for listeners under 13. Today we're covering the arrest of Rosa Parks, an act of civil disobedience that struck a massive blow against legal segregation. Now let's go back to December 1st, 1955, on board the Cleveland Avenue bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Two-year-old Rosa Parks didn't notice the tall blonde man driving the bus that evening. If she had, maybe things would have turned out differently. She and the driver, James Blake, had met before. 12 years earlier, they'd clashed over a racist policy he had on his bus. Blake was notorious among the Black community for accepting a Black passenger's money in the front of the bus, then forcing them to disembark and reboard at the back. Sometimes he even drove off after the passengers left, stealing their bus fare. In 1943, Blake had kicked Rosa off a city bus for refusing to board through the rear entrance. She had avoided riding with him ever since. But on this evening in 1955, Rosa wanted to get home after a long day working as a seamstress at the Montgomery Fair department store. She paid him no mind and headed to a seat at the front of the Black section. In Montgomery, municipal buses were segregated, with seats for white riders in the front and Black passengers in the back. The bus drivers used a sign to designate the line between the two and had the power to move it as they saw fit. And on Rosa's ride, the white section was filling up fast. About midway through his route, Blake noticed that at least one white passenger did not have a seat. He went to the back of the bus and moved the segregation sign behind Rosa's row. He demanded she and the other three Black people sitting there give their spots up to the white riders. While the three other passengers complied, Rosa merely moved to a window seat in the same row. When Blake asked her again to move, she replied, "I don't think I should have to stand up." Rosa had lived in a racist, segregated society for her entire life. As an activist for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People and the Voters League, she had dedicated her life to fighting for Black rights. She'd faced injustices like this her entire life. But today, on December 1st, 1955, James Blake was the straw that broke the camel's back. Blake told her he was going to call the police and have her arrested. Rosa glibly responded, "You may do that." When recalling the event in her autobiography, Rosa wrote, "People always say that I didn't give up my seat because I was tired, but that isn't true. I was not tired physically. No, the only tired I was tired of giving in." Rosa was arrested and taken to police headquarters. She sat in a jail cell until E.D. Nixon, her boss at the NAACP, bailed her out later that night. In the midst of the arrest, Rosa and Nixon saw an opportunity. With the help of Montgomery's Black community, they'd spin Rosa's protest into a battle for equal treatment. Up next, we'll follow the Black community's fight against segregation.
Hi, it's Greg. I want to tell you about a fantastic podcast show I know you'll love that dives deep into some of history's most notorious leaders. It's called Dictators, and every Tuesday, it examines the reign of a real-life tyrant, exploring the unique conditions that allowed them to seize control. Dictators have a never-ending thirst for power. Some seize this power through force, others through deceit, and all of them won't hesitate to eliminate anybody who stands in their way. You can hear episodes on dictators from the Roman Empire like Caligula, World War II dictators like Benito Mussolini, female dictators like Isabella of France, and many more. There are over 40 episodes available to binge right now that I know you'll find fascinating. Discover the governments that fell, the lives that were destroyed, and evil at its highest level. Follow Dictators free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, back to the story. On December 1st, 1955, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat to a white passenger on a Montgomery City bus. Her act of civil disobedience sparked a firestorm that she hoped would burn the system to the ground. After Rosa was allowed to return home from jail, she and her husband Raymond met with E.D. Nixon, Rosa's boss and president of the Montgomery NAACP. Nixon wanted to challenge the city's segregation laws, and he thought Rosa's case was the perfect vehicle. It's important to note that Rosa was not the first Black woman to run afoul of segregation laws on the Montgomery bus system. In fact, authorities had mistreated four other women that year for refusing to give up their seats: Claudette Colvin, Aurelia Browder, Susie McDonald, and Mary Louise Smith. But court trials were all about perception, and Nixon thought Rosa, an upstanding Christian woman, was a hard person to slander or discredit. She made a compelling face for the movement. Rosa agreed. Nixon and Rosa also planned a bus boycott in solidarity with Rosa's plight. On December 5th, the day of her trial, they would urge the Montgomery Black community to walk, bike, or take a cab rather than ride the bus. On the morning of December 5th, the Montgomery municipal bus drivers were surprised as they started their routes. Their vehicles were nearly empty. In Montgomery, at least 70% of riders on a typical day were Black. In response to Nixon's call for a boycott, nearly the entire Black population of the city had ditched the buses. But the solidarity protest made no immediate difference in Rosa's case. After a 30-minute trial, the judge ruled her guilty of violating the city's segregation ordinance. She was fined $14, the equivalent to about $136 today. However, this was what Nixon expected. He knew that the real fight would come later when they filed a suit against the city, but in the meantime, they had to keep the pressure on. Nixon and other Black ministers met immediately following Rosa's trial to discuss strategy. They formed a new coalition, the Montgomery Improvement Association, to organize the community's response, and they elected a young pastor and nonviolence advocate named Martin Luther King Jr. to lead the ongoing boycott. What began as a one-day protest eventually stretched to 381 days. Buses sat idle on Montgomery's streets, and their transportation department lost revenue. Meanwhile, lawyer Fred Gray assembled a new lawsuit. The case, Browder v. Gale, argued that the equal treatment afforded to black children under Brown v. Board of Education of Topeka should extend to other areas of life. If the law said schools should be desegregated, so should public transit. The plaintiffs in Browder v. Gale were the four women the authorities had mistreated for refusing to move earlier in 1955. Gray initially filed it with the U.S. District Court for Montgomery, but it eventually went up to the Supreme Court of the United States. As the case wound its way through the legal system, a violent backlash broke out in Montgomery. Angry segregationists lit black churches on fire. White supremacists bombed both Martin Luther King Jr. and E.D. Nixon's homes. And the city struck back at the freedom fighters, too. Since many black people were eschewing the buses for city cabs, the municipal government canceled the taxi system's insurance. Police arrested black citizens using an old law that prohibited boycotts. But finally, almost a year after Rosa's act of defiance, victory came for the activists. On November 13, 1956, the U.S. Supreme Court sided with the lower court's ruling, recognizing that segregated public transport was unconstitutional. If you crack open a U.S. history textbook, you'll often find Rosa Parks' arrest mentioned as one of the inciting incidents of the American Civil Rights Movement. But Rosa's protest didn't happen in isolation. She had a long history of activist work already, and her refusal to move was one of many acts of civil disobedience that black freedom fighters were performing every day. Rosa understood that to make social change, it takes unyielding courage and effort. If you want to make the world a better place, you have to commit to doing the work every day. After the 1956 Supreme Court decision, Rosa Parks continued her battle for civil rights. She moved to Detroit and worked for black progressive U.S. Representative John Conyers Jr. She also served on the board of Planned Parenthood. And in 1987, she founded the Rosa and Raymond Parks Institute for Self-Development, an organization that teaches young people about civil rights history. Today, black and indigenous people and people of color still aren't treated equally in America. The struggle against racism is far from over. So as we work for change, we can remember a line Rosa wrote in a letter to a fellow activist. Freedom fighters never retire. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Juan Borda, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Bruce Katovich. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Molly Quinlan, with writing assistance by Alex Benedon, and fact-checking by Bennett Logan. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
Don't forget to check out the Dictators podcast. Every Tuesday, they go deep into the minds of some of history's most despised despots. You'll get insight into their rise to power and the impact of their downfall. Search for Dictators in the Spotify app and listen free today.